There seems to be some concern that the stamp duty cut, which was just being lauded by my previous caller, and I have to tell you, has had a pretty positive reception during the show, but could possibly push up prices, the OBR is warning. Were you aware of that, and how do you react?
Well, look, the OBR, the work the OBR did was very narrow. It looked at what would happen if you cut stamp duty and didn't do anything else, and it says what would happen is a very small rise, 0.3% in house prices. But that isn't what we're doing. We're putting in a big package to stimulate house building, to increase the number of homes being built. So we do not believe that it will have this effect on house prices. And what we're delivering here is a tax cut, basically, for 1 million first-time buyers over the remainder of this Parliament, stimulating the house building industry, but more importantly, giving hope to millions of would-be homeowners who haven't been able to get on the housing ladder.
Now, you shouldn't necessarily proceed with something just because it might be exploited, but is there a danger of exploitation by fairly wealthy parents who might allow their children to start buy-to-let businesses?
No, this will only be available for first-time buyers buying for owner occupation.
How will you enforce that, Chancellor?
Well, look, as HMRC has got a very long experience of dealing with taxes where people often look for loopholes and ways around them, but we had long discussions with HMRC about this measure. We've had incentives for first-time buyers in the tax system before, and HMRC are able to police it.
So you're confident that it won't be exploited in that fashion?
Yeah, I'm confident of that. I mean, you'll always get some people at the margin trying to avoid and evade the system. That's a feature of the tax system, and HMRC plays a constant game of cat and mouse. But the important thing is that this will deliver the intended incentive to 1 million first-time buyers over the remainder of this Parliament, and HMRC is very confident of being able to police the system.
You'll have already had sight of it. I shared with my listeners in the previous hour the headline on the Financial Times. I always think it's a good organ to turn to a post-budget, and they have the headline, Grim Outlook Overshadows Housing Drive. How accurate is that in your view?
Well, obviously, we've had to do this budget against the backdrop of the OBR's decision to downgrade Britain's productivity growth forecast. They've been estimating for the last 8 years that productivity would return to its pre-crisis level, and now they've decided that it won't do that in the short term, and that's had an impact on the growth forecast going forward. But that's why we've been investing in infrastructure, investing in skills, investing in getting more capital into Britain's private businesses so that we can raise our productivity performance. That's why we launched our industrial strategy to try to raise the productivity performance of industry, because it's only by getting our productivity up that we can see wage rates rising and a more prosperous economy in the future.
But if they, if you pardon the colloquialism, have been banging on about this for 8 years, do we set too much store by the OBR?
Well, the OBR is the official independent forecasting
yes,
body.
But I wonder if we set too much store by it, Chancellor.
Well, I have to respond to the OBR's forecast. People would rightly call foul if I stood up and said, I'm not going to take any notice of the OBR's forecasts just published. I have to respond to them. We're not going back to the days that we had under Gordon Brown, where the government wrote its own numbers for future growth. We're quite properly responding to independent numbers, and we're showing how we will deliver the proper response in the economy to those numbers, and that is by increasing our skills, increasing our investment in infrastructure, and supporting businesses to embrace the technologies of the future. That's how we'll grow our economy.
Coming back to that headline figure of the number of properties that have been, or number of permissions that have been granted, I'm sorry, for houses to be built, developers are saying to me that in some instances, not all, in some instances, we need to look at local authorities who then find other ways to block or to delay or to hold up. How confident are you that most local authorities are moving as quickly as you'd want them to?
Well, no, I agree with that analysis, and I listened to Simon, who you were talking to
yes.
just now, and I think he was spot on. Of course, land is the raw material for house builders, and they would be foolish not to maintain a proper supply. But it's clear to me that if the planning system is uncertain and unpredictable, builders will need to hold a bigger supply of land in the pipeline. So the best way we can free up this land is by freeing up the planning system so that builders are more confident about the future supply of land. They won't need to hold such a big reserve if they're confident about the future supply.
£3 billion found for Brexit. What will that money be spent on, Chancellor?
It'll be spent on a range of things across the departments that are principally affected. The Treasury through Customs and Excise, managing the border. The Home Office, managing the UK Borders Agency and Migration Control. DEFRA, the department responsible for agriculture and food, has a big programme to do to maintain the systems for monitoring and controlling food safety and the flow of food and animals across our borders, which will all change when we leave the European Union. So there are big challenges.
Is it enough, Johnson?
That, well, look, what I said yesterday is we $3 billion is the amount we estimate we will need, and that's based on the initial estimates we've received from departments. But if we need more, we will find more. This is not an optional piece of expenditure. We have to do this to be prepared for when we leave the European Union. We don't want to see chaos at our ports or our airports because we haven't prepared for the new arrangements that we will have in place.
Saying that you knew how to show the nation a good time, you said that schools will receive £600 for every pupil they can persuade to take maths A-level. Does this not apply then for schools that do IB, International Baccalaureate?
Well, I think there are two qualifications, core maths and maths A-level, that qualify for the £600 premium.
But why not IB, Chancellor?
Well, that's a very technical question, which I'm going to have to refer to my friend,
the
Education Secretary.
I don't know, Nick.
No, I don't know. Okay. I absolutely don't know, but I'm sure there is a very good answer, and it may well be that people doing higher level IB maths are included in that figure. But right. I will.
It's something perhaps we need to take a look at.
I'll get somebody to come, as John McDonnell will say. I'll check on my iPad, and I'll get somebody to come back to you.
Just staying with the Labour brief. Why was Jeremy Corbyn so cross yesterday, Chancellor?
Well, you'll have to ask Jeremy Corbyn that. But, I mean, Jeremy Corbyn's Mr. Angry. That's what he does at the dispatch box. Mr. Angry from Islington.
And just lastly, and we've spoken this before, everybody said that you were rather dull and grey and spreadsheet filled, but we saw completely the other side of you with the number of humorous lines. Where do you get your inspiration from? Are you sort of an observational comic a la Michael McIntyre, or more a gag teller such as Peter Kay? Which camp are you in?
Well, I don't know that I'm in any camp. We just, you know, we take the view when we're writing a budget speech that an hour is a long time. You know, hopefully there are one or two announcements in the budget that will catch people's attention. But it's a long time to listen to somebody standing at a dispatch box droning on. And I think, you know, having the odd joke hopefully just lightens the tone a little bit, gives a little bit of light and shade to a very long speech.
I think you did very well. Did you know about the cough sweet gag?
The cough sweet gag.
Yeah, when the Prime Minister handed.
Oh, well, I asked the Prime Minister.
Yes, I know, did you know she had some secreted in her person?
Well, I asked her to bring them in with her because I was thinking that it is a long speech. And
So it was rehearsed.
Well, I asked her to bring the sweets in with her. I said at the dispatch box, I'd asked her to bring them in with her,
and there
and
they were. And overall, if we look just the final message, if we look at what has been achieved. How will we know in the next 12 months which aspects of your budget have really worked?
Well, first of all, I hope we will see housing numbers next year higher than this year. We built 217,000 net additions to our housing stock in the most recent figures. Over the next year, we want to see that going up higher still. I'd like to see a much greater sense of optimism among first-time buyers that they will be able to get on the housing ladder because of the commitments we've made yesterday, because of the cuts in stamp duty, but more importantly, because of the commitment to build more houses so that housing will become more affordable. And I'd like to see the measures that we've taken to improve productivity slowly working their way across the economy, with more people getting the skills they need for the new economy, more tech businesses starting up, more companies investing and growing, as we get greater clarity and certainty over the coming months about our future relationship with the European Union and business gets back to a sense of confidence in the future.